Today's daf is from Vasu daf Kuf Chav Hey. We left off daf Kuf Chav Dalet and Beis about 10-15 lines before the end of the page. It's one big sugya though. We were discussing whether the Bechor gets Pishnayim even in improvements and increases in value that the father's estate has after the father dies. The father dies and then all of a sudden his estate goes up in value before they do a division. So there was a machlokas whether the Bechor gets Pishnayim in those improvements and in those increases in value. And the machlokas was between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan held that the Bechor absolutely does not get Pishnayim in any Shavach that occurred after the father died. And Rebbe held that yes, the Bechor does get Pishnayim so long as the Shavach was not brought on by any actions of the Yisamim themselves. But if the Yisamim themselves caused that Shavach, then the Bechor would not be notel pishnayim. Then even Rebbe would be moda to the Rabbanan. So that's the baseline of every discussion we're going to have today, is that machlokas, Rebbe and the Rabbanan, regarding whether the Bechor gets pishnayim of Shevach. We had a machlokas at the top of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, or a discussion at the top of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, whether we paskin like Rebbe or not. And after all, the Gemara says the issue really depends on whether we paskin like, we know we paskin like Rebbe when he's against another individual Tana, halacha karebi mechaveiro. What the issue really depends on is, do we also say halacha karebi mechaveirov, that we even paskin like Rebbe against a group of Tanaim. And over here, he's against a group. He's against the Rabbanan being a large group, that's the suffix that the Gemara has. Rav Nachman, who normally we paskin like in Dine Mamunas, right? Hilchsuk Rav Nachman Bedini, Rav Nachman said that it's Osir Lasos Kedivrei Rebbe. He says that you cannot do like Rebbe, we must paskin like the Rabbanan. Halach Kerebi Mechaveiro, Velo Mechaveirov. It's a short daf today. We didn't have time for this Tosus yesterday. I figured we could start with it. The Tosus on the top of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Tosus says, Tema, the Bekuli Gemara Omer De'ein Alacha Karebi Mechavei Rav. In all of Shas, we always say that Alacha's Karebi Mechavei Rav Velo Mechavei Rav, that we don't paskin like Rebbe Mechavei Rav against a group of people. V'hach Mesafkele, and all of a sudden over here, Ba'basu Kuf Chav Dalet, now we have a Safek. We're not sure, do we paskin like Rebbe Mechavei Rav or not? Vesu, Rav Nachman didei amar afilu mechavei rav. What does Rav Nachman tell us over here? Rav Nachman tells us over here, do not paskin like Rebbe. Absolutely not, we paskin like the Rabbanan. Rav Nachman himself is the guy who holds that we paskin like Rebbe, even mechavei rav. V'kaimelun k'Rav Nachman bedini, v'kaimelun de'ein alach l'k'Rebbe mechavei rav. And normally we paskin like Rav Nachman when it comes to Dine Mamanis, and we paskin that Allah is not like Rebbe Mechavei Rav. So why is it that generally speaking we paskin like Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman holds halacha k'Rebbe Mechavei Rav, and we always hold throughout all the shas ain halacha k'Rebbe Mechavei Rav. Umefarish Rabbi Natam didafka hacha misafkalei avol bial malos. The Rabbi Natam says you have to realize we're not raising an issue, a shas issue over here. We're not raising an issue regarding the rule of halach k'rabi mechavei rov v'lo mechavei rav. No, we know that that's generally the rule. The issue over here is unique to this case. V'chein Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman also recognizes that this case is different than all of the rest of shas. Meaning, even Rav Nachman, who says, generally speaking, halach k'rabi even mechavei rav, holds over here, not so, that this case is distinct. The Kamer of Nachman Mutar Lasos Kedivrei Rebbe, but what's difficult is Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav, it's Asir to do like Rebbe. Rav Nachman himself says in our Gemara that it's Mutar to do like Rebbe, because he holds Kerebi Mechavei Rov Afilu Mechavei Rav, right? So Avol Ksas Kasha, the Kamer of Nachman Mutar Lasos Kedivrei Rebbe. Rav Nachman says it's Mutar to do like Rebbe. Why is it Mutar to do like Rebbe? Because we pass like Rebbe not only against an individual, but even against a group, even against Chavei Rav. The Kivin Desfir Lehacha Shalach Kerebi Mechavei Rav, I might come on Mutar. Chayiv lasos havelei lemeimar. If the halacha is really like Rebbe against not only an individual but against a group of Rabbanan, why does he say mutar lasos kedivrei Rebbe? He should have used a much stronger terminology. Chayiv lasos kedivrei Rebbe. One's obligated to do like Rebbe. Visu the kamer the kasava Rava matin itmar. Rava says over here matin. What does that mean? Kolomer matin adavar lasos k'rabban l'chadchila. That ideally we lean to say that you should really go like the Rabbanan. ubekola gemara lo kamer matin ela al osu shapasuk alacha kamoso. In all of Shas, whenever we say matin, it's usually matin to the one who we actually paskin like. That the halacha is like. I'm reading about Kosev. Gabi halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Mar sover halacha itmar. Mar sover matin itmar. Now when we say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva mechavero, the question of matin is just how strongly are we going to take that halacha? Meaning when we say that we paskin one way in a machlokas, yes, we paskin that way. Are we going to stand by it even b'dievet? That's all. That's the whole issue of matin. Matin is, l'chadchila, we paskin that way, b'dievet, we could hear the other tzad. That's the idea of matin, that you paskin that way. V'achalo huskra halacha ela al rebi v'lal rabbanan. And yet, no one over here says halacha k'rabbanan, and yet we say matin k'rabbanan. Right, the point is that we say halacha k'rebi mechaveirav, Rav Nachman holds, and then we go on and we say matin. What do you mean matin? Matin is, it should be in the direction of Rebbe then. It shouldn't be in the direction of the Rabbanan. V'nir l'ri d'hachi misafgalei I halacha k'rebi mechaveirav v'lo mechaveirav shepasku kach behedya. Now the issue over here is, do you say halach karebi mechaveiro v'lo mechaveirav? You're right. Throughout all of Shas, we say halach karebi mechaveiro, and Rav Nachman would say, throughout all of Shas, whatever we say about halach karebi mechaveiro is not relevant here. But over here, it's what's unique about this case is over here the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe are as explicit as can be. That since they hold that way explicitly, it's not just that we deduce it and that there's another brisa. It's explicitly directly against Rebbe in one brisa, the Rabbanan against Rebbe. So that's what we're mesupuk. We're mesupuk whether we paskin like Rebbe mechaveiro v'lo mechaveirav shepasku kach behedya, who paskin so explicitly. Okay. So says the Gemara. Now we left off at Sholchu Mitam, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. Sholchu Mitam. So we're discussing what a Bechor gets Pishnayim in. So we discussed yesterday whether Bechor gets Pishnayim in Shevach, in improvements in the field. What about in loans, outstanding loans that are owed to the father? So the Gemara says, Bechor is Notel Pishnayim in the loans themselves, but not in the ribbis that people are going to have to pay on those loans. So if you look at the Rashbam, Avalo Beribis, somewhere in that Rashbam, he talks about that we're talking about dafka a ribis. I don't see it over there, but that we're dafka talking about ribis of a guy, because obviously ribis of a Jew, it's an issur to collect. So we're talking about if the father lent money to a guy. So when the father lends money to a guy, does the bechor get pishnayim of the ribis that the guy get, that the guy has to pay the father? Or does the Bechor not get Pishnayim of that ribbis? So the Gemara first says, Bechor gets Pishnayim in the actual loan, but not in the ribbis. So Laman, who are we assuming like? Ilim the Rabbanan, if you can assume like the Rabbanan, that the Bechor does not even get Pishnayim in Shevach, in any improvements, Hashe Shevach di Isei Birushusei. Amri Rabbanan de lo shakil, if the Shevach, which it's already been in his Rishus, meaning By the Shevach, the money was in the father's Rishus when he died, and then it just improved after he died, and it was in the Rishus of the Yisomim the whole time. We still say the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. Milva Mibayim, Milva, which comes from an outside source, where the money was not in the father's Rishus or your Rishus. Some borrower had this money the whole time, so do you need to tell me? So is there any chance that he's going to get Pishnayim? Ella l'Rebbe. So it must be that we're assuming like Rebbe. So says the Gemara, Ula Rebbe, Beribis lo? Is that true? According to Rebbe, who says that the Bechor does get Pishnayim of the Shevach, would Rebbe say that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of the Ribis? Vatanya, Rebbe, Amar Bechor notel Pishnayim, Bein Bemilva, Bein Beribis. Rebbe says explicitly, the Bechor gets Pishnayim, both of the Milva, end of the ribbis. So there's nothing to talk about. Rebbe holds explicitly that the Bechor gets Pishnayim of the ribbis. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. When we say the Bechor gets Pishnayim of the ribbis, when did this ribbis accrue? Right, when you charge interest, so you charge based on time, right? It's a 8% annual rate, let's say. So it depends on how long the guy has the money. If he has it for 3 months, so you're only going to get 2%. If he has it for 6 months, you'll get 4%, right? So it accrues over time. Did this ribbis accrue while the father was alive or after the father died? So the Tosus writes in his the Kutras Achron, meaning he says that he changed his mind from his earlier writings. But Tosus writes that this is Dafka Beribis that was accrued during the father's lifetime, not the ribis that accrues after the father dies. And that's how the Ritva says as well. However, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's on all ribis, even on the ribis that accrues after the father dies, still the Bechor would get Pishnayim according to Rebbe. So what's the Machlokas about? Whether the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the ribis that accrues after the father dies. So the Machlokas seems to be about the way the Achronim explain the machlokas is how do we understand the chiyuv of ribis? When does that chiyuv kick in? Do we look at ribis, again, assuming with a non-Jew, with a Jew, it's an iser, but do we look at ribis as part of the loan? And when is one chayiv in the loan? The chiyuv is created at the moment that you borrow the money. So it's just that it's a gloy milsel mafreya how much the loan is really for, essentially. Because once we know how long it's going to take to pay him back, then we'll know how much ribis it is. It'll be a gloy milsel mafreya that was all part of the loan. Or do we look at it as something that accrues over time? It's like yeshna l'schiras mitchila v'yatzof, that the payment, the chiyuv to pay, goes slowly over time. The flip side, the other sheet, is not like yeshna l'schiras out of itself, because it's bitchila over here. But that's just as a mashal to understand that it accrues slowly over time. If it's all back at the time of the loans, then you'd understand that it doesn't make a difference whether it was accrued b'chayavon or l'achamisavon, because it has nothing to do with what's happening right now. It's all about the time of the loan, and at the time of the loan, we view this as how much money was lent. So it would be just like the loan itself. Whereas if you view it as something that accrues slowly over time, so then you understand very well that lachar misavuon is going to be very different than b'chayavuon. Lachar misavuon is going to be something that the b'char does not notel pishnayim. So it can't be that it's Rebbe, right? Because meaning going back to the discussion of the Gemara now, we can't say that Rebbe holds the b'char only gets pishnayim in the milvah, not in the ribis, because we know Rebbe holds that the b'char gets pishnayim in the ribis as well. So back in the Gemara, so who is it? Li'olam rabbanan hi. We have to be assuming that this idea that the b'char gets pishnayim b'milveh avalo b'ribis is going like the rabbanan. U'milveh command the gav yadamya. And we view the loan as if it's collected. I mean, we said, why could it not be like the Rabbanan? Why do we reject the possibility that it's going like the Rabbanan? Because we said it's not even in their possession. But we say, no, a loan is considered that it is in your possession. It's as if it's already been collected. Take a look at the Rashbam. B'milva shal ove kochavim, that's where the Rashbam says it, right? That the milva of a guy, as opposed to the ribis, he dafka has to point out a guy, because otherwise there is no ribis. Avalo beribis, afal pisha kasu b'shtar, even though the ribis is written in the shtar, still this shita that we're now attributing to the Rabbanan holds that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim in the ribis. Umilva command the gav yadamya, hol v'nakit shtara. The milva is as if it's already collected. Why is it as if it's already collected? You don't have the money, but it's because you're holding on to a shtar. Aval ribis, afal gav did nakit shtar. But when it comes to the ribis, even though you're holding the shtar, and the ribis is written into the shtar, ukvar avar azman, mishames aviv, lo, de'en lecha ro'i kazeh, dover shalom hayu shalom me'olam. Because that's totally ro'i. That's something that never belonged to the father. And the b'chog does not get pishnayim, but ro'i kebemuchzak. Why is the actual money of the loan not considered ro'i? Because that was the father's. He gave it to the guy to lend to him, but it definitely was the father's first. It once belonged to the father. But the ribis is money he never saw. It's money he never had and he never saw. So that's absolutely ro'i. So the b'char doesn't get b'ro'i k'b'muchzak. Aval ma'os milveh d'kashakil ma'os shelvahu. But when you're talking about the money of the loan itself, where he takes the money that he lent him, v'nimtza ashtar muchzak b'yado b'makom ma'osav. And what's the father holding on to? He's holding on to a shtar which represents that money. Vareu kimo mashkon. What's that shtar? The shtar is just like a collateral. It's a collateral that doesn't have any inherent value. It's a piece of paper, but it's like a collateral. And we know b'zeh kol modim de milva sheniach mashkon ala shakel pishnayim de balchov kona mashkon. And that everyone agrees that if the father lent out something and he took a mashkon on that loan, then everyone would agree the b'char is notel pishnayim because the mashkon itself has value. It's as if he's holding on to the money that's owed to him. So too with the shtar, we view the shtar as being no different than a mashkon. So Bukhar gets pishnayim v'chein pasuk rach. Says the Rashbam Viter, had shalchu mitam pliga ahachter Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel de la'el. He says you should realize this shalchu mitam that distinguishes between milva and ribis and says that the Bukhar gets pishnayim in the milva but not in the ribis, disagrees with that which we said from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel previously. What did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel was the one who said in the middle of the Amud, Ein Bechor Notel Pishnayim B'milveh. That a Bechor does not get Pishnayim B'milveh. Right? So it's pretty directly disagreeing with the Shalchum Itam. V'travayu Aliba D'Rabbanan. But both the Shalchum Itam and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel are within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Right? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel would say that Bechor is not Notel Pishnayim B'milveh, goes Aliba to the Rabbanan, who says that, that's how the Gemara concluded yesterday, the last Gemara we read yesterday, that the Rabbanan would say that you don't get Pishnayim in the Shevach, would also say you don't get Pishnayim in the Milveh. But the Shalchum Itam thinks that the Rabbanan would agree that you would get Pishnayim in the Milveh. Mar Mashvile Muchzak, Kivin Denakit Shtaru, Mar Lochayish L'Shtar, Denayir Bialmahu. And what's the point of their dispute? What's the root of the Machlokas over here in the Shita of the Rabbanan? It's a question of whether you consider holding on to a Shtar Ra'oi, or do you consider that Muchzak? On the one hand, you can consider it Muchzak because the Shtar represents the money, it's just like a Mashkon. On the other hand, you can say, no, that's not Muchzak, that's just Ra'oi, because the Shtar is a piece of paper, it's worthless. It's not a Mashkon. A Mashkon has value. If I give a Mashkon, I'll give you my watch, I'll give you something that's worth something. I'm not going to give you something that's a piece of paper. A piece of paper has no inherent value. So that's why you would consider it Ra'oi. Yesh Mefarshim, though. There are those who explain, the Had Shalchum Itam B'milva Shal Ovid Kochavim. He says, there are some that want to make it work together, that want to make it that the Shalchum Itam is not necessarily against Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. How so? Maybe the Shalchum Itam is dafka talking about a loan of a guy. Up until now, we never spoke about ribbis. It's only with the Shalchum Itam that we brought ribbis into the picture. By bringing ribbis into the picture, we're obviously changing who the borrower is. And we're making the borrower into a guy. Kedektani avaloba ribbis. V'hachter Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel b'milvah shel Yisrael. And when Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that the Bechor does not get pishnayim of the loan itself, that's when it comes to a Jew. The low pligi, they're not arguing. Meaning, is a loan considered ra'oi or is it considered muchzak? It depends who the loan was made to. If you lend it to a guy, you lend money to a guy, then it's considered muchzak because you're for sure going to go after him. You're going to get that money back from him. You're not going to have any rachmanas. So therefore, it's for sure considered muchzak. When it comes to a Jew, it's not considered muchzak. Now, he doesn't explain what the svara would be. I'm suggesting maybe because with the Jew, you're not going to go after him as much. You'll maybe have rachmanis in the end. He needed the money. You feel bad, and you'll ultimately give it to him as a matana and let him keep it. So maybe it's not as muchzak with the Jew. Maybe it's because of Shemitah laws, whatever it is. But with the Jew, it's not considered muchzak. That's what some wanted to suggest. Says Rashbam, just to be absolutely unequivocal and clear about what he thinks about this idea, the hevel hu biyadam. It's a bunch of hevel, it's a bunch of garbage to say this. The Adraba, Ipcha Mestavri, says, if you had to be mechalik between a Jew and non-Jew, and you had to figure out which one is more muchzak, which one you're more likely to ever see that money from, you wouldn't say the chilik in this direction, you would say the chilik in the exact opposite direction. It's more muchzak when you lent the money to a Jew than when you lent it to a non-Jew. Asher p'im diber shav. Because by a non-Jew, we assume they're not afraid to lie to you. They'll lie to you, they'll borrow money from you, they're not going to pay you back. The Jew, we assume, is going to be honest, he's going to pay you back. That's the, so he says, if one were to make that chilek, it would go in the opposite direction, and that certainly wouldn't help us. So therefore, the Rashbam says, I'd rather not make that chilek, and it's much easier to just say that the Shalchum Itam disagrees with Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Directly, there's nothing to talk about. It's a beferish machlokas between the Shalchum Itam and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar le'Ravacha bar Rav l'Ravina. Ikla Amemar la'asrin. Amemar came to our place with Darish, and he darshened as follows. Bechor notel pishnayim b'milve, avalo b'ribis. Amemar darshened that a bechor gets pishnayim of a loan, but not of the ribis. Meaning, exactly like the Shalchum Itam, that the bechor gets pishnayim of the loan itself, but not of the ribis. Amrlei, so he said, Nardai l'tamayu. Oh, all these Nardai people go with the same Shita. Who are all these Nardai people? Amemar, and we're going to see Rav Nachman, both from Nardai, and they both hold the same shita. The Amar Rabba, because Rabba says, the Bach changes the gear, so the Amar Rav Nachman, okay, the Bach flips it. Let's go with the Bach. Dom Rav Nachman, Gavu Karka Ein Lo, Gavu Ma'os Yesh Lo. V'Rabba Amar Gavu Ma'os Ein Lo, Gavu Karka Yesh Lo. What's this about? Gavu Karka, Gavu Ma'os. Let's say you collect Karka as payment for the loan of the father. So does the Bechor get Pishnayim of that? Does it make a difference how the loan gets paid back? Meaning all we've been speaking about is when the loan gets paid back, does the Bechor get Pishnayim? Does it make a difference how the loan gets paid back? Whether it's paid back in Karka or it's paid back in Ma'os. So the way the Bach's Girsa is, that Rav Nachman says, if you collect karka, the Bechor does not get pishnayim. If you collect money, the Bechor does get pishnayim. Rabba says the opposite. You collect money, the Bechor does not get pishnayim. You collect karka, the Bechor does get pishnayim. What's the svara to be mechalik between collecting money and collecting karka? So if you look at the Rashbam on the first very wide line, gavu karka bechov milva aviyah and ein lo le Bechor pishnayim de ma'us huvav velo karka. Meaning, why would you consider karka not to be mochsak? Because I never lent him karka. I lent him money. So if there was anything I was ever muchzak in, not me, the father never lent him karka, he lent him money. So if the Bechor only gets pishnayim of what the father was muchzak in, you can't say the father was muchzak in the karka. He never saw this karka. The father was muchzak in the money. He gave the guy money, but not karka. And that's why Avogav Mos, Yeshlo, Shari Mos, Hilvao. You can consider him a ma'os. You can consider him muchzak on the ma'os. Aliba de shalchum itam. V'hainu ka'amemar de darsh b'chor nilch b'shnayim b'milva. And that's exactly like the shalchum itam. Because the shalchum itam held that the b'chor gets b'shnayim in the milva. That assumes money of the milva, not karka of the milva. And what's the svar to say the opposite? The svar to say the opposite is pashut. When you lend money to somebody and there's a shibur on the karka, so a shibur is miktsas kinyan. When I have a shibur on his karka, it means that I'm a part owner of that karka. So since so the father lent money to the guy, immediately he has a shibur on his karka. There's no cash in the world that the father can say, that's my cash. But there is karka he can look to and say, look, if you don't pay me back, I'm taking that karka. That's where there's a shibur. The cash, we have a concept, milva lo tsa. When you lend money to somebody, he's not supposed to give you back that same money. What do you have to borrow it for if he's going to give you back that same money? He's supposed to spend that money, invest that money, do whatever he needed to do with that money, and then pay you back different money. When hopefully his investment turns a profit, he'll be able to come back to you and pay you back different money. You don't want him to pay back the same bills. If he pays you back the same bills, you look at him like, what did you do? Why did you borrow this money in the first place? So you can't say that that the money is muhsak, not the money that he pays you back. The money that he pays you back, you never saw before. It's only the karka that's muhsak, because the karka you had a shibur on immediately. That's the svara to be mechalik. So we want to say that Amemar and Rav Nachman are the two nardayins. Amemar darshin a bechor gets pishnayim b'milva, and that goes like Rav Nachman, who says that on ma'os the bechor gets pishnayim. We assume milva means the ma'os. If you look at Tosos, nardayi l'tamayu says Tosos the pirish rabbeinu tam de besamuch. The pirush Rav Nachman aliba denafshei islay, that Rav Nachman's own shita. We're going to see soon that Rav Nachman and Rabba are both called on the carpet over here for their shita about distinguishing between money and karka, and the Gemara is going to reject both of these shitos, and the Gemara is going to ultimately say, we'll get to in 5 minutes, the Gemara is ultimately going to say that Rav Nachman himself doesn't really hold what he sounds like he's saying over here. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that Rav Nachman aliba dinafshei islay, so what does Rav Nachman himself really hold? Bein govu karka, bein govu ma'os, yeshlo. That Rav Nachman himself would hold that you get pishnayim whether you actually collect karka or whether you collect ma'os, doesn't make a difference. The Bechor always gets pishnayim in the loan. Asi shapir, hadukamar hacha nardai l'tamayu. Then it's going to work out great that we say that nardai l'tamayu, that the nardai goleshitasam. Tameimer nami, stomacha amar denotel pishnayim b'milva, bein govu karka, bein govu ma'os. Because after all, when Ameimer said that Bechor is notel pishnayim b'milva v'lo b'ribis, he did not say what kind of milva. Presumably he means no matter what kind of milva it is, no matter how you get paid back, the Bechor gets pishnayim. So in order to say that Ameimer and Rav Nachman really say the same thing, you want Rav Nachman to hold that Bechor gets pishnayim not just in karka, nor just in ma'os, but in both. That Bechor gets pishnayim in everything. So it works out really great if that's what you hold Rav Nachman actually concludes. Aval apir shakunches to mefarish b'samach to Rav Nachman alibet de nafshei islay ben gov karka ben gov ma'os ein lo. But if you're going to say, like the Gemara assumes, like Rashbam assumes, that Rav Nachman himself really holds that a Bechor never gets Pishnayim, lo yitachein hadamar nardai l'tamayu, then we have a real problem with this expression, nardai l'tamayu. So how does Rashbam explain the expression nardai l'tamayu if Rashbam himself holds that according to Rav Nachman, the Bechor never gets Pishnayim? How is that in line with Amemar, who says the Bechor is not the Pishnayim b'milva? So the Rashbam explains that it's not Nardai L'Tamayu based on what Rav Nachman really holds. We said Nardai L'Tamayu L'fi the Havamina, what we thought Rav Nachman was saying. We thought Rav Nachman was saying that when you take cash as payment, that the Bechor gets Pishnayim of that. Now, it turns out Rav Nachman doesn't hold that, but we thought he held that. So that's L'Tamayu. What we thought Rav Nachman holds is in line with Amemar. Is it completely in line with Amemar? Well, we don't know, because Amemar never told us what happens when you take karka. But it's at least partially in line with Amemar. At least when it comes to collecting cash, both Amemar and what we thought Rav Nachman hold both say that the Bechor gets Pishnayim. So, says the Gemara Vayter, two lines from the bottom. Amalei Abayi l'Rabba. So Abayi says to Rabba, l'didach kasha l'Rav Nachman kasha. I got problems with you and I got problems with the Meimar. Right, I have kashas in all of you. L'didach kasha, my kasha on you is as follows. Maishna ma'os delo, delav hani ma'os shavakavuon. Why is it that you say that you can't, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in the money? You know why? Very pashut, like we said. Because this isn't the same dollar bills that the father had. So it was never muchzuk, it's all ra'ui. Karka nami lava karka shavakavuon. But the karka also the father never had. I mean, at the end of the day, the father never even saw this karka. And the father could have never seen this karka, even if the father would still be alive, because the guy may have paid him back in cash, and then the father never would have been entitled to this karka. The karka was only a backup plan. So shibud or no shibud, the karka was only a backup plan. The father was never muchzak in the karka. So that's my problem with you. Va'od, and even more so, he says, Hamaru da Amar Mistaver Taima de Bnei Ma'arava. You're the one that said, you yourself, Rabbah, are the one that said that the Bnei Ma'arava are correct. The Kadim Safta Vizavna Zvina Zvini. That if grandma wants to sell the estate, she's allowed to sell it. What in the world is he talking about? So the Gemara is going to say, at the very bottom of the Amar, you look, run ahead to the last line, my Safta. Who's the grandma? What are we talking about over here? So Rashbam fills us in. Rashbam just essentially tells us what the Gemara is going to say, but it's less confusing when you see it from the Rashbam. So if you look at the Rashbam, va'o da'amar mar, rabba da'amar bu'uvda da'hi safta. So follow this case for a second. There's a story of a certain grandma, tahavila bas ben bina, who had a great granddaughter. Her son's daughter, hanesua labal, was married. So Baruch Hashem, this woman was zochet arichas yamin. She had a great granddaughter who was married. Now that great granddaughter was in line to yarshin the grandma. Umesa hahibas, the daughter, that great granddaughter died before the great grandmother died. Va'acharkach mesa safta, and then the great grandmother died. Va'asa bal v'katava yerusha sazakena. So the Baal comes and says, "I want great grandma's yerusha." The husband of this great granddaughter says, "I want the yerusha." Ki'ilu ishto kayemis, as if his wife were still alive. Vishalchumitam, tahainu b'nei ma'arava, so the b'nei ma'arava sent a message, she'ena bal notel, mishum davu hanu karkos ru'uyun le'ishto im tamos ha'zikna b'chayeha, v'aremesa hi b'chaya zikna, ha'zikena. He said, no, the Baal does not get it, the b'nei ma'arava said. Why does the Baal not get it? Because yes, his wife would have inherited her great-grandmother, had the great-grandmother died before the wife. She was rotly to receive that Yerusha. Did she ever receive that Yerusha? No, because she died before the great-grandmother. And a Baal does not collect in what was rotly for his wife to inherit, only what his wife actually inherited. Va'amar Rabba, and Rabba says on that, Mistavar time in the name of Rabba, Dena Bal Yore, Shavalei Roy, V'lo Muchsuk, Labas, Shekals Man, Shazakeinu B'chaya, Ein Labas Ben Klum. And the B'nai Ma'arava said, Rabbah said, the B'nai Ma'arava are absolutely correct. The great-granddaughter was never Muchzak, she was only Ra'ui, husband doesn't get anything. How do I know the Bas has no right in that estate at all? Let's say the grandma would have sold that estate. The grandma would have sold that property. Absolutely, she had a right to sell that property, and then the great-granddaughter never would have received it in the first place. Right, the great granddaughter never would have received it because it belonged to the great grandmother. She could have sold it when she was alive. So that's how you know. If let's say after the great granddaughter dies, the great grandmother would have sold it. totally zvina zvini. Absolutely, the sale would be binding. So if that sale would be binding, so you see that it's clearly not muchsak by the great granddaughter. So what's the point he's trying to make? So he's trying to say the same thing over here. So what are you going to say? That the properties that the father, in our case, could have collected from, that's called muchsak? Let's say the guy who borrowed the money sold those properties, right? So kiven shloi gili they a malva mechayim ruyin hein. So you have a boy, the malva never got them during his lifetime, so it's called ruy. Do you have a boy lova have a zavin lehu mesalikle the malva bezuze or bekarka acheres? Clearly, the borrower could have sold that land and given cash or other karka to the lender. Chutz mizu, other than this land. So it's clearly Ra'i, the Bukhar does not get Pishnaim. Now, there is one difference. The difference being that there's a Shibud over here, so even if he does sell it, you can go collect it from him. Right? As opposed to by the grandma case. Grandma sells that property, the great-granddaughter can't come and say, hey, that's no fair, grandma shouldn't have spent all that money before she died, I wanted that money. Too bad. Right? So, you know, sometimes people before they die, they want to spend all their money because they want to enjoy it. Why should their children enjoy it? Right? So they want, so the children have no recourse. They can't go to the places that sell all those cruises and whatever else that they spend the money on and say, that was my money, that was my Yerusha. But over here you can. So I don't know if the Rishonim bring up that issue. I didn't have a chance to look around. But that's a really strong difference between the two cases. But anyway, so he says, that's my kasha on you, Rabba. The Rav Nachman kasha, I have a kasha on Rav Nachman also. Maishna karka delo delafo karka shavakavuon. Why do you say that the karka is not, why do you, Rav Nachman, say that the karka is not muhsak, it's only ra'ui, because this karka the father never owned. Well, most nami lav hani mal shavakavuon. Money also this guy never owned. The father never owned this money, he gave him other money. Va'od, ham Rav Nachman, ham Rav Barvoy, som shukav karka v'chavos avien, bal chav chazav v'gov mehen. Plus, Rav Nachman himself says that when Yisomim collect karka as because their father was owed money and they collect that karka, Obalchov can go and be gover that karka from them. So that's another kashan of Nachman, because Rav Nachman considers money more muchsuk than karka. But he should have said the opposite, because right, as Rashbam explains, take a look at Rashbam Va'od. Va'od kasha acheres of Nachman, the chashem mos muchsakus tfei mikarkos, ha'ibcha avalei lemeimar, mishum de karka shal zeh, havi muchsak tfei lemalve. This karka is more muchsak. If the Yisomim collect karka, anyone that the father owed money to can collect from their karka. Now, if it wasn't considered to be muksuk in the father's hands, how could Balchov come and collect from it? If the Yisomim would buy karka after their father dies, could Balchov come and collect from that? Absolutely not. And the metaltan of the Yisomim isn't meshubat to the Balchov, so the karka is for sure much more muchsak than the cash is. So how does Rabbi defend himself? Rabbi says, don't worry, it's not a kasha on me, it's not a kasha on Nachman. We're just trying to explain the B'nai Ma'arava. We don't actually hold of any of this. So what do we actually hold? So that's what we saw Tosos mentioned. Machlokas Rashbam and Tosos. Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and Tosos. Rashbam holds that Rashbam holds that Rav Nachman himself really holds that Bein Gov Karka, Bein Gov Maos, Ein Lo. Bechor does not get Pishnaim in Karka or Maos. None of it is Muchsuk. It's all only Ra'ui. Rabbeinu Tam holds that no, Rav Nachman believes that it's all Muchsuk, that it's all actually Muchsuk. But anyway, we mentioned grandma. So my Safta, what is the case of grandma? So now the Gemara spells out the case. There's one detail that Rashbam left out to uncomplicate it a little bit that the Gemara adds into the case. But it's really the same idea. There was a case where a guy said to people, Nichsai l'savta, ubasra liyarsai. He says, I want all my money to go to my grandmother, not great-grandmother. This is the woman's son's son. Her grandson said, when I die, I want all my money to go to my grandma. I love my grandma, I want all my money to go to her. If my grandma's not around when I die, none of my grandma's not around. After that, I want it to go, after my grandma dies, I am earmarking it to then go to my daughter. Meaning, instead of going to my grandmother's other yarshim, I want it to then go to my daughter. So that's the case. I mean, the guy who originally died tried to determine the path that money is going to take. Normally, it's not how Yerusha works. You yashin to somebody, then you have no say anymore. Once you morish it to them, it's theirs, and then it follows the laws of Yerusha from them. Right? It goes on from them. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to determine the path. He says, I want my nechassim to go to my grandma, and then after grandma dies, I want it to go to my daughter, who's grandma's great-granddaughter. Right? Havila le barta tavanasiva. He had a daughter who was married. Shchiva b'chay balu b'chay safta. The great-granddaughter died first. When her husband was alive, well, no, the man died first, right? And then obviously his estate went to grandma. After the man died, the Gemara leaves that detail out, that's obvious. We're talking about a guy who's a shchiv mirah, saying this on his deathbed. After the man dies, the daughter dies, the great-granddaughter dies, and her husband is still alive, and the great-grandmother's still alive. Basar to shchiva safta, after great-grandma dies, asa bal katava. So the husband says, okay, I want it now. It was supposed to go, it was earmarked to go from great-grandma to my wife. Granted, my wife's not alive, but I'm my wife's Yoresh. Amar Rav Huna liyarti v'afili liyarti yarti. So Rav Huna says, yeah, when he says I want him to go to my Yarshim, he means, and then let it go to my Yarshim's Yarshim. When it was originally earmarked to go straight from grandma to his daughter, he wants it to go not only to his daughter, but the Yarshim of his daughter as well. Ravana says no. Liyarti velo liyarti yarti. I want it to go to my Yarshim, but he doesn't determine beyond that. He says no. If my daughter's alive after my great-grandmother dies, then I want the money to go to my daughter, but I'm not past that, not to the Yarshim of my daughter. If my daughter's not alive, let it go to my grandmother. Yorshim, right? Let it go to what the normal halacha would be. Sholch mitam. So they sent a message. The Bnei Marava sent a message. Hilchsa kavaset Ravanan v'lav mitamei. We pass him like Ravanan, but not for the reason he said. It doesn't go to the husband, but not for why he said. Hilchsa kavaset Ravanan de balo yaris. With a halacha is like Ravanan that the husband does not yarshin it, but v'lav mitamei, not for the reason that Ravanan gave. Dil Ravanan savar afal gavdavle bral lebarte lo yaris. Because Ravanan himself held that even if the daughter would have had a son, Ravanan would hold, that son wouldn't yarshin. Right? Ravanan holds, it doesn't go to the yarshim of the great-granddaughter. It goes back to the yarshim of grandma. It doesn't go to the yarshim of the great-granddaughter. Velohi, but that's not true. We don't hold that way. Dilu havale bral debarte vada yaris. We hold that if the great-granddaughter actually left any real yarshim, if she actually left any real, any children, then for sure they would yarshin. Ubal hainu time of the yarish. No, you know why the husband doesn't yarshin, even though he's a yarish of his wife. Mishum davle ra'ui veina bal nolta broyku b'mochsuk. Yarshim even get a yerusha in ra'ui, but a husband when he's yarish does not get ra'ui. He only gets mochsuk. So the bal is not going to be yarish. Wait a second, that makes it sound like Rav Huna, who holds the husband does get it, holds that a husband even collects broyku b'mochsuk. Amar Ablazer, Davrze, Niftach, Begdolim, Minestayim, Begtanim. So Ablazer says, let me clarify this. This started with Rav Huna's Shita. Rav Huna's a great Gadol. I'm going to finish off his sentence. I'm a Katan, I'm a nobody. It's Niftach, Begdolim, and I'm a midget standing on the shoulders of giants, is what he's saying. Rav Huna started making this comment, let me explain it. The explanation is as follows. Whenever someone says Acharecha, it's as if he's saying Me'achshav. And that's why Rav Huna holds that it even goes to the husband, meaning it's as if he's saying Me'achshav, it belongs to my daughter, right? That whenever he says it goes from grandma to my daughter, it's clearly saying Me'achshav, it belongs to my daughter. Once he's saying Me'achshav, it belongs to my daughter, it then follows her own line of Yerusha. It's considered muksuk in her hands, and therefore even if she dies without children and only a husband, the husband would take that Yerusha. Not because he takes Beratui, but because it's considered muksuk, it's not considered Ra'ui. Okay.